I got the audiobook because I thought, oh, if this is about like minimalism, I probably shouldn't even buy the book. So I downloaded the library app. I forced him to listen to it with me on this car ride to Vegas. We both were kind of looking at each other the entire time we were driving, like, what is this? Because it was just a whole new way of living and thinking and choosing things with your heart. And it was just so out there. And so we came home and I felt like I needed to test it a little bit. Like I wasn't convinced that this was for me. So I did this small part of my bathroom. I was just so overwhelmed with how good I felt that I went to work the next day and was telling everybody. I did my whole home and didn't really know what to do next.
From Jump Cut, it's An Unconventional Life, a show about people that have escaped the 9-to-5. I'm Samuel Donner, and on the show today, how Caitlin Roberts left an established career in HR and entertainment and started a thriving business after learning to be tidy from the most famous tidy expert ever, Marie Kondo. Humans are creatures of habit. Whether by design or by accident, we infuse our daily lives with little rituals that give some sense of stability in a rapidly changing world. For some, those rituals might include a morning cup of coffee, a cold shower, or meditation. For me, it's listening to a podcast on the morning train to work. And you know, these rituals can make you intensely productive, but they can also multiply and overpopulate our lives to the point where every second of our lives is on autopilot. Today's story is about someone who had committed to a career, who was laser-focused, who was almost on autopilot. But one day, Caitlin left her job in entertainment, a career she had been in for over a decade, to chase some Japanese lady that was teaching people how to clean up their rooms. In this episode, we'll learn how Caitlin made this career pivot and how the Marie Kondo method is so much more than just cleaning up a room. To understand Caitlin's drive to help others, we have to go back to her childhood and her family unit.
I've always been a people person. I've always been like the family mediator, and I've really thrived in those settings. I would be finding common ground between people and sort of connecting them. If one person was mad at the other, I would be there to just like smooth it over.
Why did you want to do that?
I think it just came naturally to me. I think I'm a highly empathetic person, so when I am around someone that is unhappy, it does impact me. I remember when my mom was going to school to be a nurse and was very overwhelmed with all of these children.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I felt a great sense of responsibility to hold the family together and be mini mom and cook dinner and do the laundry, like whatever needed to be done to make my mom happy because I could see how stressed she was.
Do you think if you weren't there to hold it together, it would have fallen apart? Did you feel like there was that worst case scenario?
I did have that worst case scenario feeling of, you know, my mom would come crashing down and no one would know what to do and who would take care of everyone. I held this like great sense of responsibility.
That great sense of personal responsibility extended beyond Caitlin. She also was aware of the responsibility her family had to the community. Her mom was a nurse and her dad was a cop, which are two high-stress jobs that deal with life and death on a daily basis. This intense stress only strengthened the sense of duty she felt to those around her.
I think I always had a great sense of our role within the community. You know, I can think back to a time when I was in, it was either kindergarten or first grade, where my dad had arrested someone and then there was a hit out on him. And
wait,
so
wait, a hit?
Yeah.
What even a hit?
You know, a threat on his life. There was all of a sudden police escorts to school. You know, he's out there trying to do something better for the community, but there is this sense of danger. And so our position within just our world and our community was always really sensitive.
To actually have like police escorts and have it enter your world in a more tactile way, that you seem unaffected by it. When you're describing it, you're like, oh, like, you know, the police escort, how does that become so nonchalant?
I think I was so young, so it did become the new normal, but I think I've grown up thinking my dad, my uncle, and then even when my youngest siblings became cops, again, I had to go through this mourning experience of I worry every single day. So I do have that same stress. This is just my world. This is just my norm. And so you kind of have to go through the process and it does just become normal.
Because her family unit was far from normal, Caitlin gravitated towards anything that built a stable sense of community, independent of the stress coupled to her family unit. Caitlin found such a community in her high school drama club. It was there she would begin to develop an interest that would shape the next chapter of her life.
I auditioned for the first play and I was cast as the lead. And then I started doing plays in my community as well. So at first I thought, you know, do I want to be a talent agent? But by my senior year, I was really interested in the more creative side of it and the casting part.
Why talent agent and not just actor or talent? I mean, you were cast as the lead, so obviously you had some talent. So like, why did that not seem like an option?
I was just having fun with the friends part of it and the creative part of it. I didn't really need the attention part.
Realizing her interest in being a talent agent, Caitlin came up with a plan.
When I joined UC Berkeley, the plan was major in communications, work at a talent agency in San Francisco, and as soon as I graduate, come home to LA and work at a talent agency.
With this plan, Caitlin felt she committed to this specific lifestyle.
I still went about the next few years thinking, let's do this talent agency thing. Even my last year of college, I did so much less of the social because I was so dedicated to the talent agency I was working at in San Francisco.
Finishing up university, Caitlin left San Francisco to come back home. At the time, her dad, through the sheriff's department, was getting his master's in organizational leadership. She leveraged this program to get the career she had been dreaming about for so long.
And I quickly was able to bring my experience from organizational leadership actually into my role as a talent agent assistant, which was such a surprise, but really exciting. I got a job at Gersh, the Gersh agency. I got to skip the mailroom because I had this San Francisco experience and I was a floater. I remember my first week, I covered a desk for another talent agent whose assistant was out. And for some reason on that date, they got the most appointments, like auditions for his clients that he had ever received.
Oh God.
And it was horrifying. Her computer wasn't working and I had no idea what to do. But in that day, I sent out like hundreds of auditions and everyone was really impressed that I just figured it out like on my feet.
Yeah.
That the head of the department ended up hiring me as his assistant and I started the next week.
Wow. That made a good impression, I'm guessing.
Yeah. You know, I don't give up. I find my way, whatever that way is. And I still think of it as like the worst day ever.
Caitlin spent 3 years at that agency, but her focus began to switch. She saw that she was gravitating towards wanting to help the employees instead of the talent, seemingly referencing back to her family mediator roots. But she didn't realize something had to change until she was offered the next rung of the ladder towards talent agent success.
They actually told me, hey, at the end of the year, we're going to promote you to junior agent. I just sort of paused and was like, oh, actually, I don't want that. The reality of actually knowing that that was the rest of my life in that moment, I was like, no.
I mean, if you were having such a great time, why was it like hard confronting that being your life?
I just didn't feel the camaraderie. It was kind of one person versus the next, and they were always thinking about their own clients, even though they serviced the whole firm. It just didn't vibe with me and who I was. And as much as I was having a great time, I just didn't see giving up everything in my life to be on call 24/7 for this kind of business. I think I saw the reality of it.
What was that reality?
There was a gross part of it.
Yeah.
That no, I still liked the world, but it just didn't do it for me. And so I went back to them and I said, I would love to stay on, but I want to be a part of the human resources department. And they only had one person and they said, well, you can, but you also need to assist the owner. And I thought, well, that sounds like also a lifetime sign up. So no thanks. I had met this really great guy working there. He's a business manager. So he worked with a lot of our clients and told him that I was leaving and going to travel for the summer. He said, okay, cool. Call me when you get back. And I got back a few months later and he said, great. What do you want to do? Just come do it at my company. I said, well, I'm interested in dealing with employees. I have this organizational leadership background. And so I started with him the next week and we just figured it out. I showed up to that job absolutely having no idea what I was going to do.
Initially having no idea what to do, Caitlin took the reins of the company and started to direct culture. She was hiring constantly. And through all this, Caitlin was guiding the company. This was a lot to handle. And while Caitlin was adjusting to this new job, she discovered something that would drastically change the course of her life. She had experience with slightly diverging from the embedded path by opting to go into HR from becoming a talent agent, but she never had the opportunity to completely uproot everything she had worked for to pursue something completely new. That was until she read a book that would change her life.
I was at work and it was a lunch break. And when I was feeling stressed out, I had this Pinterest board and I would just pin like beautiful organizational pictures there. I saw Marie's book, it kept popping up. So I pinned it, but you know, you do nothing with these.
Yeah.
Right. And then have you heard of Live Talk events?
No.
So they're here in LA. They bring very, you know, distinguished speakers, but typically people are on a book tour. Mm-hmm. And so I got an email from Live Talk on that same lunch hour that said Marie had a second book, Spark Joy, and it was going to be in a couple of weeks. And I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I just pinned that other book. And then a friend messaged me and said, hey, I want to go. You should read this book. And so I was like, okay, what is all of this? Like, it was so serendipitous. You know, it's just like one thing after the next. And honestly, not a book I would have read. I was so focused on culture and hiring and how could I be better at my job? It was just totally not a part of my life. So Zach, my husband and I, we were boyfriend, girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. We were going to a wedding that weekend and I got the audiobook because I thought, oh, if this is about like minimalism, I probably shouldn't even buy the book. I forced him to listen to it with me on this car ride to Vegas. And we both were kind of looking at each other the entire time we were driving, like, what is this? It was just a whole new way of living and thinking and choosing things with your heart. And honestly, it was nothing we had ever thought about, heard about. It was just so out there.
And Caitlin wasn't alone. Marie Kondo popularized the KonMari method, which has changed the lives of thousands of people across the world. To give a quick overview of the method, it's basically a system of simplifying and organizing your home to get rid of the physical items that do not bring joy into your life. Inspired by the potential of this technique, Caitlin wanted to actually try it.
And so we came home and I felt like I needed to test it a little bit. Like I wasn't convinced that this was for me. So I did this small part of my bathroom. I was just so overwhelmed with how good I felt that I went to work the next day and was telling everybody. I was like, you should see my bathroom. That was really the start of it. And so we started applying it to our home and it wasn't that it was messy. Like we had a puppy, so we always puppy proofed it, as we called it. Like things were put away. But I quickly realized that I always felt this sort of nagging of like it really is kind of messy in the pantry. Like I never could just relax. And all of a sudden, like you didn't have to go back and fix that thing because you actually had really gone through a whole area and like we're done. Like the maintenance wasn't really a thing. Toast totally took over my life and I did my whole home and didn't really know what to do next.
Why not?
Because I had a job and I didn't know what it meant to be a professional organizer. And so I just went back to my job.
So Caitlin returned to her job and the routine of her daily life. She flicked on the autopilot switch until it was suddenly flicked off. She got an email from the KonMari newsletter.
And it said, hey, we're going to start training people to teach this method. And I just immediately signed up, paid for it, hoped Zach wouldn't be mad because we were getting married like a month later. But I just knew I needed to do something. And that was the something.
Why was there like such urgency?
I was so inspired in a way I had never felt inspired. And I really did believe that I had changed my life. The first book is called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And I felt the life-changing magic. So I just didn't really know, was it something I was going to do at work? Like, I just wanted to dig deeper. And I didn't know what that was or where to find it. And all of a sudden, I had something to grasp onto. So I was there.
What was that actual thing like?
The first step is you do this 3-day course. Mm. And it was super intensive. I think there was probably like, I don't know, somewhere between 40 and 60 people there. From all over the world.
Wait,
like,
so people were flying in from everywhere to San Francisco?
Massive Australian presence at this class. People from all over, from different backgrounds, men, women. It's shocking because this was a new thing. There was no one to say, hey, you can take this information and do whatever with it or set up a business.
I'm assuming you talked to some of those people. What were they like? And like, how did they differ from you? How are they the same as you?
The thing that I took away from it is that we were all inspired and didn't know, kind of what to do next, we could see how beneficial it was to live a life where you're choosing joy. There's so much more gratitude and happiness, and you search for different things, and it would start to impact your social relationships, your calendar, like everything. But nobody really knew what to do. And when I left, I didn't even know if it was going to go beyond. I had created a lot of great relationships.
Was there any actionable at the end of the course?
Yeah. So if you want to become a certified consultant, you had to then actually go start working this method and get a couple of clients, start actually teaching the method with them in their home, where you work category by category. You had to complete the entire home. You write reports about every single session, and you have to show that you really understand the method. So you write reports, you send photos. There was an evaluation team that was based in Japan who would respond back to you. Honestly, it was a really long process. It wasn't something that, like, you go to a course, yeah, you get certified. Like, it was many, many months later. And that's for people who were on top of it.
What was your response to that? So you had come back from San Francisco with all this new information under your belt. You have now an actionable of how actually to translate this feeling into something that you could actually carry out. What were your next steps?
Coming back from San Francisco, super inspired, really proud that I had found something to do with my energy. I still didn't think anything beyond. I was just having fun, but I had, because of my job, added it to my LinkedIn that I had gone to the certification course. And it was around the holidays, and someone had reached out to me and said, "Hey, my mom just got diagnosed with cancer, and she really loves the book. I think I would love to give her sessions with you as a Christmas gift." And I responded to her, "I have no idea what I'm doing. I've only done my own home and gone to this 3-day course that was taught in Japanese with a translator. If your mom is cool taking it slow with me and knowing that I'm in training, I'll be there. But I just want everyone to know what you're getting." And she was like, "That's cool. My mom's the best. It's not going to matter." And I said, "Okay, other caveat, I'm getting married. So you have to wait a month because I think my future husband might kill me if all of a sudden all of our weekends leading up to our wedding I'm spending with you."
Yeah.
And so she's like, "Cool." The weekend after we got married, because we delayed our honeymoon, I started working with her, and it was the most life-changing experience because she was, in treatment, going through chemotherapy, eventually radiation.
Yeah.
And so we took it so slow for her and for me. It was sort of one of those life experiences that was so life-changing. I couldn't see myself doing anything but what I was doing with her, because we were able to completely changed the way she was living.
Caitlin was well on her way into the transition from knowledge acquisition to knowledge application. After meeting over coffee to get to know the client a little better, Caitlin set up her first official lesson.
The first official lesson, we always do take a true tour of the home where we open up every cabinet and really start to see how the space is being utilized, because you aren't just organizing, you're streamlining, figuring out new routines and habits. So I started to get a sense of the home. Now, what's interesting is the home is 4 bedrooms, but just a single woman was living there. So there was a quick idea, an option to actually start Airbnb-ing some of the bedrooms. So we had a goal that if we could get this home complete, she could Airbnb the bedrooms and actually start replacing the income that she lost while she was on her medical disability leave, and also even delay her having to go back to work when she was going to be feeling better. In the beginning, you always spend a really good portion of that first meeting setting the foundation, which is, what is your ideal lifestyle? Not what are you doing right now, but how do you want to actually be spending your days? And what does your home look like? And how do these things support each other? So when you are making your decisions of, does something bring you joy, it has to support this lifestyle that you're trying to get to. So for her, it had to support a home that she could Airbnb and keep up with almost no trouble. Then you start with the first category, which is clothing, which really does mean we pulled all the clothing out and piled it on her bed. Every session after that, we would work through small sections.
Was there any resistance that you got? Because I imagine parting with a lot of that stuff is not easy.
Yeah. So this client, and now friend pretty much, is a bit of a fashionista. So clothing was a really hard place to start, but that is where the method begins because you have a huge quantity of it. And it's like physically the closest thing to your heart, which is what you're making decisions from. So it's by design that you start with clothing.
Yeah.
So for her, it did take the longest to actually work through clothing because it was almost more sentimental and really wrapped up in who she was and how she wanted people to view her and be presented. And there was just a lot of it. So sometimes she would struggle, but it would just be these more deep, heartfelt conversations of like, okay, but you can't fill the closets that are for the Airbnb rooms with your clothes. So we need to find like the perfect amount for you that can live in your space. I always say you have to scale your volume to your space. So not only are we looking for what brings you joy, but it has to fit in this section of your home you've identified as yours now. But you do have to figure out like this joy element. So for her, I asked her, we did tops because there was a lot of clothes. We had to make it bite size. I said, pick your three favorite things. And she was like taking her time with it. It was like, no, it should be obvious. Like these are your like hell yes favorite things.
Yeah.
And so she picked three black t-shirts. This is a super non-judgmental process, but this is my first client. So in my head, I'm like, what? Like looking at her clothes, she was the most fashionable person. I'm like, yeah. Why would she pick three black t-shirts? Like to me, that's what, you know, like a minimalist does. It was so bizarre. But what was interesting, and I still reference this constantly, because the reasons why she liked those three black t-shirts ended up being what we reference as her joy markers for her entire home. She really appreciated the design, the craftsmanship. She really trusted that no matter what, she could put one of those shirts on and dress it up, dress it down. Like there was no hassle with it.
Yeah.
And then she liked the color black because it was versatile, could go with anything. And she just felt good in it. And that became her reasons for literally everything.
And I love how the philosophy just like transcends the item that you think it's about. Did she notice those things that were being pulled out of her through this process?
I think it was later on in the process where it would click and be like, oh yeah, it was like those three black t-shirts. That is consistent with just about everybody. And I think it's super common with parents of adult children. They have not thought of themselves in so many years, like themselves first, that this part of the process is really hard but incredibly rewarding.
Back to the podcast after the break. Okay, so take a second. Now close your eyes. Imagine your dream life. Maybe you're backpacking across Europe or sipping a coffee at a rooftop cafe in New York. Or maybe even waking up at 2 p.m. and sitting on the couch in your pajamas. Why isn't that your life now? I can tell you why. You aren't doing something you love. If you think your dream life sounds impossible, that's just because you don't know how to make it happen. That's where we come in. If you have a normal job, you know the unfortunate truth. You don't get to choose when you work. You don't get to choose when you wake up. You don't get to choose how much you get paid or what benefits you have or when you get to take time off. Let me ask you this. What if you could be your own boss and make a living working on something that you're actually passionate about? At Jump Cut, we teach ambitious people like yourself how to launch a successful online business in your free time. Two of our students, Mikey and Amir, launched a business selling productivity journals called Habit Nest. Jatna Hernandez paid off all her student debt and now lives off an online business teaching makeup and beauty hacks. Now they work on what they want, when they want, and we want you to be able to do the same. Our course, Automated Income Machine, will teach you our proven system that almost anyone can use to make a living following their passion. Any passion, cooking, makeup, basketball, magic, you name it. AIM is a step-by-step course that will allow you to come up with a viable business idea even if you have no previous experience, or create reoccurring monthly revenue even if you don't have any products to sell. The best part is, when you build a business around digital products, you work for yourself. Which means you choose when you take vacation, you choose how much you make, and most importantly of all, you're working on something that you're incredibly passionate about. Today, we'd love to offer you the opportunity to check out Automated Income Machine for free. You're going to love it, and I'm so excited for you to check it out. Visit jumpcut.com/tidy, that's T-I-D-Y, to get started with our 7-day free trial. We can't wait to see you there. At many points in the process, Caitlin was thrown back by a few of her clients' decisions, but she flowed with those choices and flowed effortlessly with the slower pace that the client needed. Caitlin yet again tapped into those roots of being a mediator. She witnessed a complete transformation.
What was it like when you were done?
To be done was so great and such a celebration. I think I celebrated the most when she had her first Airbnb clients. She still messages me now and says, oh, this person just booked for 30 days. And we always celebrate those things because this is not an easy process. So knowing that this is still happening years later, that is what keeps me going every
day. Yeah, because you've built the framework.
You know, that word framework, like I do want it to feel like the teach a man to fish. I'm just trying to get you started so that you can take this new skill and run with it.
Going from your first client to other clients, was that an easy transition?
In the beginning, people that would call me knew me somehow or another. After about the first 6 months of working with people that I kind of knew, that's when Marie started putting consultants, certified consultants, on her website, and there were only maybe 15 of us in the world. I very quickly started to hear from so many people that I had no idea I would ever be able to reach. And it was scary at first. Actually, it was scary the first time I had anyone from a different background. So maybe it was a man, or maybe it was an elderly person, or a 20-year-old, like every new experience. But then I quickly realized, like, it's all the same. Their story is just different. And just kind of settle in and help them.
While she was helping all those other people, she was still at her job and it was becoming hard to balance both. Caitlin began to look at the questions she repeatedly asked her clients. Does this other job spark joy?
Right around the flood of people coming in, I had started to think about going part-time, and then I got pregnant. So I did go part-time, but a lot of it was remote. So I would just squeeze it in around my clients. I worked 7 days a week, as many hours as I needed to, and drove everywhere, sometimes doing my regular job and seeing three clients in a day. Sessions need to be between 3 to 5 hours. So sometimes I would be at like my original client until 10, 11 o'clock at night. So in terms of leaving this job that I had been so excited for and spent so many hours improving myself for, by this time, it was keeping me up at night. I would wake up in the middle of the night super worried and stressed out, and I'd sort of become the office therapist. It was a lot to take on, and I think that I was getting so much more inspiration out of this new endeavor that it just felt like a no-brainer. I cried a lot when I quit, but I'm still super close with the owners and they were really supportive. You know, as much as it was a sad thing because we were family, like, there was still, I had the blessing to go on and do what I needed to do.
So how did quitting like scale up your ability to pursue this and like actually making like tidying like full time?
I think quitting really helped me just be able to sleep and take on clients. You know, I never had to say no anymore. I just was free to do whatever I needed to do. So to be successful, a huge part of it to me was actually leveling up as a consultant. So when you're first certified, you're a green consultant, which means you've done, you know, 50 approved hours. But there was an ultimate goal of being a master certified consultant, which felt so insanely far away. And it meant I had to have 500 approved client sessions under my belt. In terms of success, it wasn't about any kind of money. It was how many people can I see? How many homes could I finish? Could I ever reach master? And I quickly realized that my demand was so high that this was within reach.
Caitlin's demand was so massive because she was one of the first KonMari certified people in her area. This gave her a competitive advantage over other consultants and also extended her the unique privilege of having a personal relationship with Marie Kondo.
I have the great opportunity of being one of the very first. She lived in San Francisco and then now she lives in Los Angeles. So if she would get calls for something, sometimes we would go work with that client initially, like that first session together, and then I would take it over from there. And so that actually is not something that I think anyone else can say, at least outside of Japan.
How does it feel going from like reading this person's book to actually like working with her like pretty closely?
I've been thinking a lot about that because even when I was teaching these workshops over the last few days, I was saying like, I was just like you. I was just another person that read the book and thought, wow, what is this? This is different than I've ever been thinking. And now this is my job on so many different levels. I do so many different things with it. It's surprising, but I think that's just what happens when you allow your passions to lead your life.
Caitlin continued to follow these passions, but while she was at her peak, while she was getting the most client bookings she had ever gotten, while she was on her way to becoming a master, she encountered some majorly disruptive life events.
The first was I had my daughter, and when she was 2 months old, I fell out front of our house and broke all the bones in my foot and ankle, and it was pretty horrendous. I had just started booking clients again, and I had to call and cancel all of them, and I really didn't know what it was going to be like to heal and get back into work. So a couple months later, after I went through surgery and physical therapy, I was using a peg leg walker. I called those clients and was like, okay, I'd like to come help you, because I was anxious to get back out there, but I can't physically help you for many more months. So I could be there as your coach, but I need to bring someone else with me. And so that's when I started hiring other KonMari consultants to come with me and actually work as a team. And I tried a lot of different people out before I kind of settled on who my team was and what our philosophy was. That next 6 months, I was able to finish up and see so many clients with that support that by January of the next year was when I hit 500 and was named Master Consultant. I very quickly realized that it was so much fun. Now I do run a business with multiple other KonMari consultants, and this would never have happened if I hadn't broken those bones.
Caitlin turned something most would view as an impediment to success to a multiplier of success. She couldn't physically visit houses, so she hired a team and created a business that could begin to scale. With that scaling, Caitlin has taken on other responsibilities, namely speaking events.
Up until January of this year, I said no to every speaking engagement because it scared me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be that vulnerable and put myself out there. And it's a Japanese method, and I'm not Japanese. I didn't have the confidence, but I became a master consultant. I became certified by Marie to be an actual speaker on her behalf. I realized I just had to do it. This last week, I was flown to Hawaii and we did a very large scale speaking event. The community response was out of control. Every day we were adding more and more seats because everyone needs a little bit of help in their home. And one thing I was especially fascinated by in Hawaii is that people would see me on the news and just show up like an hour later because they saw that there was at 10 a.m. going to be a workshop. I just didn't know that people would come because they saw it on the news, because I don't identify with that, but they would. They would be there an hour later. Hey, I saw it on the morning news.
How many people were there? How many people went to this conference?
Between 700 and 1,000 people came over like a 4-day period.
1,000 people?
Yeah.
Were you expecting that?
No. So when we initially first spoke, it was way smaller.
Yeah.
Even the large speaking engagement, I think, was never going to be more than like 100 to 200. But they were struggling with keeping it at 500 once I was there. And then the smaller workshops were supposed to be like 10 to 15 people. And every day it was more and more. I think we landed around like 75 at the end because we just couldn't squeeze any more people into the space. So I think it shows that just anyone and everyone, no matter what their home or personal life looks like, needs a little bit of help. And so it was incredible.
Through this journey, Caitlin has honed in on a single piece of advice that she attributes to her success.
Looking back at the last 10, 15 years, I'm so amazed about what has happened, because really it's just because I've been open to whatever happens next. Even in the last few days, some people have been asking about my business and I'm like, I don't know where I'll be in 6 months because 6 months ago, I couldn't have told you where I was going to be today. I am doing so many different things now than just seeing people in home. That if I had limited myself as saying like, I only do this one thing, and not been open to new opportunities like speaking engagements and other corporate things. If I lived in fear, if I wasn't open to the chances, I don't think any of this would be happening. So I think just being open to your business, whatever it is, taking different twists and turns and just going along for the ride is the best possible thing you could do. For the future, what's exciting to me is that at this point now, my business is being developed in multiple different states. And, you know, there's conversations about international travel for speaking engagements and further education opportunities. So I think I'm just excited about a much wider reach.
There are two main things I learned from Caitlin. Having a guiding light and being grateful. From the beginning of her life, Caitlin's guiding light, her North Star, was her love of delving into interpersonal connections. She used that love to drive her career. In addition to that guiding light, you have to be grateful because gratitude opens the heart to new experiences. It's easy to fall into a rut, into a routine, and not take time to look beyond the next step. Every so often, Caitlin looked beyond that next step and saw where she was walking towards. At times, she realized, wait, I don't want to be walking towards that, and shifted directions. But to shift directions, you have to first be grateful for the opportunity that presented itself. And once you are grateful for it, you will subsequently be open to that opportunity completely changing the course of your life. It's never too late. Caitlin had been pursuing a career for over a decade, and suddenly a book presented her with the opportunity to change her life. She didn't reject that opportunity because she had sunk time into something else. She was grateful and embraced the opportunity and let it whisk her away. To be ready for those opportunities that come into our life, we must first be grateful. So why don't you tell me something that you are grateful for? It's super easy. Just call me at 310-853-2538 or email me at samuel@jumpcut.com. Seriously, do it. I'm just a phone call or email away.